What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk with Naj, man. Hope you guys are having a great week, man. So much to break down and talk about today. Lamar Jackson kind of up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen with him. Looking like he's probably not going to play or suit up. I'm hoping he does, though, for Baltimore's sake. But look like it might be Tyler Huntley. He hasn't played in over a month. The Ravens in his career without Lamar Jackson being there, they are 4-8. I think they're 2-3 this season without him. So, you know, we've seen the offense kind of sputtering, struggling a little bit. You know, we'll see what happens in the end. But I think, you know, with them just signing Roquan Smith to that 5-year, $100 million deal, $60 million guaranteed, I mean, you think that money like that would be for your franchise quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Now, Roquan Smith was really good. Sure tackler, you know, really good at coverage. I mean, he just checks all the boxes, all pro linebacker for a reason. But I just think they've yet to value Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, and I feel like they haven't surrounded him with the necessary weapons in order for him to be ultra, ultra successful. Now, he's already done it and won an MVP in the NFL, in the league, but I don't think they've prioritized him enough, surrounding him with more weapons than he needs. Now, he's had Marquise Brown's career. He's had Mark Andrews, Devin Duvernay right now, Rashad Bateman, but I mean a true number one receiver. If you think about it, we haven't seen – like when we saw Josh Allen and when he took off and kind of where he's at in his career, we didn't know what he was. He was unknown until we saw him get a number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. And then now, you know, he's revered as one of the top quarterbacks in the game and even a potential MVP candidate. So, you know, for me, I think that's the biggest thing with Lamar. And there's going to be teams out there that's going to want him. Obviously, you know, we have to see what happens in the draft. But, you know, Jets is obviously, I think, a team to look out for, especially with their QB situation with Zach Wilson. You know, we'll see what kind of happens with that. But I think that's a team you got to kind of keep an eye on that may could potentially want him. You know, there's several others as well. The San Fran situation is kind of up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen there. Obviously, they like Brock Purdy. But, you know, Trey Lance with his injury, still kind of unknown. We don't know what really he has to offer because he's been hurt since he's kind of gotten in the league. And the year before, he had to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo in their pursuit of a championship when it came up short to the Rams. So a lot of storylines in the NFL, but that's my quick take on Lamar Jackson. And a co-worker of mine brought up a great point, I think, when he said about RG3. So he kind of rushed himself back, came back a little too early, presumptively early, and you know his career was never the same. His rookie of the year, I think it was the year they went to the playoffs, they played Seattle, and he ended up damaging his knee even more playing in that playoff game, and they, you know, lost terrible fashion, but you knew, like, once he got injured in a way he was injured, that he would never be the same, and he never was. So I think that's, you know, smart of Lamar. Last couple of seasons he's had injuries. We know what he can do on the field. When he was healthy this year and playing, he was an MVP candidate early in the season before, you know, he kind of faltered off a little bit. But I can't blame him if he's thinking, okay, I got to think about the longevity of my career, what I'm going to do, and you know, how I'm going to take care of me and my family. So I really don't blame him if he doesn't play. I want him to play, obviously. But, again, as a player, you got to be smart, assess the situation, and think, okay, is this really worth risking my career over for a team that doesn't want to pay me? And if I get hurt and it's a substantial injury, then what? So I can't really blame him for the situation. And he's going to go somewhere where he's wanted. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out and how it happens. But I can't blame him. And that RG3 situation really made me think, especially with his career, how much he has to use his legs and, you know, scramble out of the pocket and, you know, design runs and things like that. It made me really think, you know, and, you know, he got to do what's best for him at the end of the day. I mean, it's a business. NFL is a business. It's a business for the owners. It's a business for the players, for the coaches. So, at the end of the day, you got to do what's right for you and your well-being. Obviously, it's a team sport, but there's nothing wrong with putting yourself first. So, I wanted to definitely hit on that today in the podcast. And I think, you know, like I said, I mentioned it yesterday. I was on my podcast with Craig when we were talking about kind of Georgia and their beatdown and underrated overlooked podcast. I really think, you know, Stetson Bennett is a testament. Obviously, you know, you see the proliferation right now, the transfer portal, how important that is. But his story of going, you know, from – you know, walking on to JUCO to now a two-time national champion. I think he's just a testament of, you know, sheer will and determination, having that work ethic and being able to overcome adversity. And I think a lot of times you'll see, even in life, like there's always going to be opportunities out there for you. But a lot of times people don't take advantage of those. And that's why they be stuck and upset and, you know, they're regretful and you see misery down the line and they're miserable with their lives. But you take advantage of your opportunities when they're presented to you, you know, that's the greatest thing. You're able to manifest it. Because that's what happened with him. He didn't get his shot at Georgia. I remember a couple years ago, Georgia was like, we don't know what we have a quarterback. It was going between him and I think it was two other quarterbacks. And Georgia was kind of unknown at the QB position. And he came in, you know, I think he started a little bit. He ended up losing the job for a couple of games and got it back. I don't know if you guys remember that story with Stetson Bennett. And then ever since, man, taking off, won them a national title last year, the same thing this year. So I think it just says a lot, man. I think, you know, it shows how important it is, man, to overcome adversity and what you do when you put your head down. You know, and at the end of the day, like I said, again, if you're a player, you have to do what's best for you. But it's something to think about, you know, because like I said, that first year, that second year, you might not get that playing time. But you never know that third year it could come, you know. So it's kind of a – it's kind of like a balancing act. You got to think about, okay, one, doing what's best for you, and then two, you got to think about, okay, I don't want to waste my time. So, you know, there's kind of a balancing act there. You got to see, like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, if I'm not getting playing time, am I going to stick it out, you know, work for it and try to, you know, get playing time? Because they're going to put the best people out there for, as far as the coaches, who they think is best for the team. And then at the same token, you got to think, okay, well, I got to get playing time if I want to go to the next level, or if I want to, you know, get more name, more kind of attention, you know, towards my name and things like that, if I want to play on the next level in the NFL. So like I said, it's a balancing act. You, again, at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. But I think he's just a strong testament of what happens when you stick things out and, you know, you go for your dreams and you're just relentless in your pursuit of it. And a lot of times, like I said, we live in this I got to have it now era where if you don't have it in the first year, if you don't have it in the second year, it's an issue. But when you wait, you battle it out, and you see success down the line, it makes it even more sweeter. And that's the only thing I don't like is that, you know, they show things like you got to have it today. And if you don't, you're not successful. If you're not making six figures by 25, you're a failure. Like, that's not the case. Everything takes time, and you have to let it manifest and grow. And you just have to keep – it's almost like a plant. You have to keep watering it, keep trying, keep building it. And eventually, like I said, you'll see the results. So that's the biggest thing that's up for me for Stetson Bennett. Congrats to him for a two-time national champion. He's probably going to go down as one of the best ever in Georgia history for what he did in the run. I can't say right now that they're a dynasty yet. I can't say that they're better than the Alabama program because of the longevity. That's one of the things I like to see. Being able to do it for a long time. We've seen Alabama contend for a long time, been in the running for a long time, being a top team for a long time. Georgia's just now starting. Again, great start to the era. It's 2020. I think they won their first title 2021, and then they just won one in 2022. So can they keep it going is the biggest question. Next year, they're going to get everybody's best shot. It's hard to three-peat. You start having complacency, start having egos. You know, you can start having players, you know, not buying 100% in. So you have a bunch of different things going on. So it's something to think about next year and, you know, kind of what happens. And then, like I said, you're going to see the SEC get bigger in a couple of years when Texas comes and Oklahoma. We'll see as they get exposed to, you know, better and greater competition. I think the national championship just showed that the SEC is above all. You know, it's obviously you have other conferences. Like, I really like the Big Ten and Ohio State and Michigan programs, even though they fell short this year. I feel like they can compete with most schools. I like ACC, which has been down the last couple of years. Usually they'll have a couple of teams that come out of there that can compete. But the SEC just always, you know, despite, you know, you might say, oh, that's one loss or two loss on their record, but they're playing some of the best competition and best players, you know, in the whole country. And I think SEC continues to kind of show that. And, you know, we'll see if other conferences can kind of catch up. But I think that's the biggest thing. But I think Pac-12 next year will be interesting to see what happens with that. I think they have 5 10-win teams this year. So I'd be curious to see how the Pac-12 is going to kind of match up against, like, the other, you know, upper echelon teams and conferences because, you know, they got Colorado with Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter, you know, just committed over there with all this here. Shador Sanders, his son, how would Colorado look? They're one of the top teams in the transfer portal. How is that going to all come together? You know, football takes time to, you know, come together. How will they look? You know, USC has Lincoln Riley. They got the Heisman Trophy winner in Caleb Williams. How are they going to look in year two together there at USC? Obviously, got some time together at Oklahoma before they both left. You know, how would that look? How would Bo Nix look in another year in Oregon? How's that going to look? You know, so it's a lot of storylines in the Pac-12. I'll be curious to see how everything turns out. And ACC-wise, just quick storylines. I'm just curious to see how Miami's going to look in, you know, in year two under Mario Cristobal. They really struggled at the quarterback position this year. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? That's kind of a position I think they need to, you know, get right this year. I think it can really help them. And defensively, can they get better? Can they improve? So I think those are some big storylines out, you know, the college football going into next season. And, you know, I can't wait, man. So, again, this is just a short, quick episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Just want to talk about some Lamar Jackson news and obviously some of the big storylines going into next season for college football. So, appreciate y'all tuning in. This will be going up on my website. Make sure you go to sportstalkwithnaj.com. All my my YouTube channels on there. My podcast is on there, which you're listening to right now. I have different stories I do as well, covering high school, college, you know, professional. So make sure you definitely check that out. I'll be linked below. I appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.